Hey, this is Zep, and on behalf of the guys, Stru, Boomer, and Lukey, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to our podcast of The Ticket Outdoors, brought to you by Mills Fleet Farm. And remember, when nothing's going right, just go fishing.
The countdown is on. Fishing season is days away, and Mills Fleet Farm has hook, line, sinker, and more. The Abu Garcia Cardinal S spinning reel is on sale, just $24.99. A two-piece ugly stick light spinning rod is just $14.97. Spiderwire Stealth Braid Line is $4.99 after rebate. Rapala Shad Wrap Lures, including our exclusive colors, $4.99 each. And get your fishing license at Mills Fleet Farm, now open in Mankato. Love it.
It's time for Ticket Outdoors on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right. Welcome to Ticket Sports Radio 105. I'm sorry. I'm so terrible with authority.
You were the kid that used to throw stuff at the teachers when they turned around, weren't you?
How do you think I ended up in radio? Wasn't sitting in the front of the class. I remember on occasion I would do a career day, which I thought was kind of odd.
You couldn't get a job at Walmart. That's
right,
what happened.
Right, exactly.
I used to have the same things up. I used to always have to sit in the front with the nuns, and then when they would turn around, I'd like mess with the tassel, and then mom would be like, God damn it, Boomer!
I would do a career day with one of the TV guys in town, Rick Capcella.
Yeah, and we'd go I like Rick.
And there would be the kids in the front row with their clipboard and their pen out taking notes, and then there'd be the kids in the back of the class with their heads on the desk. And yeah. I'd go, okay, hey, you in the back. You're the ones that are going to end up in radio. You people down in front, Rick Capcella will be up here in a minute.
So Rick was a classmate of yours in grade school.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Stru, what the hell?
Let's start over again. I was talking about career day. All right, welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Hey, what was that game we played at kids? Was it 7-Up where you covered your eyes and your thumb was in the air? You remember that?
Spin the bottle. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, you still play that one, Zep.
No, but it's by myself.
Let's talk about last week.
Well, tell you
how
what,
is everybody doing?
We did fine, but I got, before we get, I have
to. Welcome to 105, The Ticket.
I've got to do this before I forget because, you know, I'm a buff guy. I go to Gold's Gym, which is now Extreme Fitness.
And you got some porn hair going on.
No. This guy never shuts up. But anyway, in my step aerobics class last Saturday, I saw a young lady friend, Terry Zarembinski, and she's got the greatest shoulders in the world. I tell you, she's
hot. Is she hot?
She's hot, yeah.
How old is she?
Anyway, I told her I'd say hi. I bet she's about 40. She's got thick ankles, though. Kind of thick ankles.
Sure.
And I'm not big on thick ankles.
Okay.
But she's got the greatest shoulders in the world. I said I'd say hi to Terry Zarembinski. She's, I always end up being behind her for some reason. I'm not sure if that's planned.
Are we saying hi to her now?
I'm saying Terry right now. Terry.
And you just criticized her ankles?
Uh-oh, are we
on
the air?
Did you say she had cankles?
Are we on the air? I'm just kidding you. Terry, hi, and
we'll
see you Saturday. She'll be dressed like the little kid from A Christmas Story or The Michelin Man, because I'm complimenting her shoulders. But
women love to be compared to The Michelin Man.
Beautiful.
This is not working, Terry. I'll talk to you Saturday.
Zep, did you go hunting or fishing this last week?
I did not go hunting or fishing this last week. I was skunked. What did I end up doing?
You took a motorcycle ride on Saturday.
Saturday we had the flood run for the Gillette Children's Hospital specialty health care, and it was gangbusters. It was one of those days. The State Patrol today, I found out, said that they estimated over 50,000 motorcycles.
And you finally had pretty decent weather to ride.
It's all about the weather. Yeah. If it had been raining that day or the weather that we had yesterday afternoon, there would have been 50 motorcycles out there. So it was a great turnout. Anybody that might be listening that came out for it, greatly appreciated it. I don't have a final on the number that we raised for Gillette Children's, but it'll be a big number.
It must be difficult for you being Brian Zep, KQRS superstar. No, is it hard for you to say no? Because you could do this every weekend.
It depends
weekend.
Who's asking.
No. You could be doing something like this 52 weeks out of the year. You eventually have to say no sometimes. Yeah. It's got to be hard.
Well, when you work a few hours a day sitting on your butt playing tunes, it's not hard to say yes. In other words, I've got some time, and I'm going out and I'm riding motorcycle for the day to raise money for Gillette Children's Hospital. When we go out and we do benefits, what are we going out? We're going to go out and there's
talk hunting
and
fishing.
A dinner. There's always some great giveaways and silent auctions. So when we're talking about casting for cures, going down to the poorhouse and listening to a great band and hanging out with real local celebrities like some of our sports athletes and different people in the media. And so those are all cool things. So, you just try and balance your time.
So you don't mind coming from KQ, a three-hour show on KQ, and doing a two-hour show here. Wait. Oh, no, you're doing a one-hour show tonight, aren't you? Oh, just a one-hour show.
I'm doing a benefit for my friend tonight who couldn't find a date to the Wild game. So I'm going to duck out a little bit early, but we've got a great lineup. I mean, 2 hours, we're taking it right till 9 o'clock. You guys are, rather. Sam, thanks for coming in and helping out on the board today. And or this evening, I should say. And we rerun this Sunday mornings, 6 to 8.
Yeah. And by the way,
and if you want to see our video of Stu running around naked, plucking around like a chicken, go to Facebook.com/ The Ticket Outdoors.
That's not how you drive traffic, man, by offering up Stu naked clucking like a chicken.
That's not going to attract
many. He told me he did that in college one time and had some luck with it.
Before we get to our first guest, you had some things you wanted to talk about. I forget what they were.
Well, I'll tell you what, since you're going to be gone the second half. Yeah. And you're such a rotten conversationalist.
Yes.
I think Boomer and I will finish up most of that when you're gone, all right?
Okay.
Because I think we should get to our guests fairly early and keep on booking longer.
Does anyone care what I did this week?
Hey, what did you do this week?
Thank you, Zap.
The guy on the show that actually fishes and hunts, we should talk to. What did you do on the show?
I went fishing.
Yeah?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
We are going to save it for the end of the show.
Well, that you're a tease.
While you're gone at the Wild game. No, I went and fished the Minnesota-South Dakota border opener and had an absolute frickin' blast.
Where were you at? Where'd you fish at?
I fished Lake Traverse, which is a runoff of the Minnesota River. It's a sister lake of Big Stone. And I tell you what, it got a little bit of bad press last year because of some ice out and thought that it winter killed some fish. But the walleye fishing was just absolutely unbelievable. And I fished with Steve Carney, who's going to be our guest later on the show.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
He calls into a competitor station. That's okay. We still like Steve. We'll give him some crap on the radio. Writes for the Outdoor News, but we had a really good bite. And I'm actually going back there this weekend, and then I'm going to go chase some gobblers, and Mark's going to join us. So we're going to talk about that at the end of the show, a little bit about some fishing things that we learned during that trip.
Talking to some guys headed out this weekend for some turkeys, for some gobbling hunting. Stru?
I'm tired of this chasing crap. When did this start? I want to
we're
kill
a deer. We're going to go shoot a turkey in the face is what we're going to do.
Deer. Everybody? I don't want to chase a deer. I want to kill a deer. I don't want to chase a turkey. I want to shoot a turkey. I don't want to chase walleyes. I want to catch walleyes. Where did this chasing start?
It's what the kids are saying now.
Is that right?
Chase, yeah.
It's
all about the chase.
Hey,
man.
Since Boomer was teasing. Keep people here for the second hour as well, or the podcast, or which is anytime.
Or our app.
Or Sunday morning from 6 to 8 o'clock. And the last half hour of the show, we're going to talk about, I'll talk about Jerry Yellen. I had an opportunity to go down to Fairfield, Iowa with my gorgeous wife, Diana, and spend the entire day with Jerry Yellen. He was the P-51 fighter pilot from World War II, flew 19 missions over Iwo Jima, and the stuff I heard and was really cool about it, I didn't know this, when we got to the restaurant, there was a documentary company from New York that was doing a documentary on him. So they filmed the entire thing of us having lunch and BSing with Jerry Yellen. And then he invited us to his dinner at his house that night. We'll talk about that.
That's going to be
cool. That's very cool.
It was a great experience and very privileged. And then we'll
talk about you, Stru. You go and do stuff.
Yeah. Then we'll talk about casting for Cure, went to the benefit at the Poorhouse on Friday. So that was a great experience as well. So I've done some stuff.
Yes. Yeah, and then we're going to have one of our first fishing reports because we're only a couple weeks out from the governor's opener that I'll be attending on May 9th on Vermilion. Yeah. But there's a lot of people going to fish the border waters right now, and Devil's Lake has some open water, so there's some folks headed up there. But I understand we're a hunting and fishing show, but how cool was it that the Wild kicked the Blues ass?
Very cool. Huh? Yeah. I was lucky enough to get over to that game as well, and it was a fun game. That's what you want to see. The Wild just outskated them. They made them look like big, stupid thugs that they are.
Yeah, and we hope that they take that prick.
Hell, Ott. Yeah, I mean, with that guy, you know, you just... Yeah, what do you say about Ott? You know, you wish you were 20 years younger and you get on the ice and kick his rear for yourself, you know.
Now, I know,
go ahead. The best thing you can do to Ott is just keep beating the Blues. Send him home.
Smile at him. Kill him with kindness, right, baby?
Send him home.
Scoreboard, baby. Scoreboard.
Yeah. I know where your suite was, where you were sitting with the KQ suite. Was that the end of the ice where...
Also the Ticket Outdoor suite.
The Ticket Outdoor.
105, the Ticket.
I know. I wasn't confused about it until I got an email.
Was that the end of the ice where where Zach scored his goal or was in the end?
No, our suite is actually, it's the KQ92-93X105, the Ticket Suite, and it sits right in the Minnesota attack zone for periods 1 and 3.
Okay, it's on the corner, I know what it is.
In the second period, Pommy and Breezy ended up scoring down on the other end for the second.
How nuts.
So that wasn't in front of us, but hey, you know what? We got Doobie in front of us.
Fun.
For that. Yeah.
Doobie in front of you?
They weren't giving us yet with the Doobie.
The Doobie.
Yeah.
How awesome or how loud was that place, Zepp, when Pominville scored?
You know, I had a chance to get down to a bunch of games this year, which is a lot of fun. And the XL is always rocking.
Yeah.
But it's playoff hockey at the X. And I mean, I was surprised. And I went to one Blackhawk game last year in the playoffs, and it was crazy. But it's always crazy there. It's always loud. I've been to some big games this year, and they're loud. But the playoffs are times 10. Everybody's in a frenzy. They lay all the white towels out in the seats, so everybody's got a white towel in their hand. It's pretty exciting. It's pretty wild.
So what time are you taking out of here, Zepp, officially?
You know, sometime around that 45 mark or so.
45, and you'll be right on the rink, huh?
So 7:45. Yeah, I want to get down there, you know, get a brew in me and get on right down in the glass, yeah.
So, now, Stru, you did casting for Kears. Yep. You went and visited the World War II veteran. Did you do anything else? Climb Mount...
Yeah, I just ruined a relationship with Terry Zarembinski.
I think so.
Other than that.
No, I worked. I worked. I had an open house on Saturday, and I don't know what else I did.
What about this dang cold front coming in, guys? God,
isn't that good for the turkey hunt?
Summer.
Isn't that good for the turkey hunt? I think of turkeys a little bit like deer, and I don't want it to be warm up. You don't want to get up that morning and want it to be warm. I want it to be freezing. And the freezing temperatures when you get up in the morning. Does that help the turkey hunt?
Actually, you know, that's a really good point. Turkeys, folks, you know, when it snows here in Minnesota in April and our season kicks off, we got an 8-week season. Some people think that when it's snowing out that the turkeys aren't going to be in the mood to do some dating. Well, turkeys are actually turned on. That whole hormone thing kicks in sunlight. It's daylight that matters.
Yeah.
So even though it's cold out, they're still willing to go out there and mingle with
the
others.
Get the job done. Yeah. Just like we are here in Minnesota. Yeah.
I was going to tell you, you asked me if I did. No, if I did anything else. You looked at me like I said something wrong. You said something, everything exactly right. I went up to Keeler's gunsmithing yesterday and picked up my 870 Remington. I dropped it off a couple of months ago and had it all cleaned and tuned up and all that, had the oil changed and the air and the tires and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But he also, I went to see Keeler's busier than hell. And he's got a really nice shop up there. And so he did some things. He switched the safety from the right side of my gun to the left side of my gun because I'm left-handed. And he's got a hell of a shop up there. So Chris Keeler, Keeler's Gunsmithing, and Becker, give him a shot.
All right, guys. Well, are we going to start it with Steve Kearney?
I think we're shuffling our guest a little bit.
Yeah. All right,
Mark's shaking his head. I don't know if that's...
What that means is that George Krog is not available. We'll talk.
All right.
We'll congratulate him
a little
bit.
Let's get Kearney on the line.
Shuffle the deck and be right back with more of Ticket Outdoors.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McCurry's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
Saturday night at America's premier short track, Richmond International Raceway. The Toyota Owners 400 is live Saturday night at 5.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
It's the season for outdoor living. Mills Fleet Farm has a patio set that includes four chairs, table, and an umbrella. On sale, only $99.99. The DynaGlow Bronze Stainless 4-Burner Gas Grill makes cooking easy. Just $238.88. Accent your home with solar path lights. The Crosslight 10-piece light set includes two spotlights. It's $11.99. Need a new mower? There's a wide selection of lawn tractors and walk-behind mowers at Mills Fleet Farm. Now open in Mankato. Love it.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep. Traded for it. Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family-owned can make for you.
We at Dan's Southside Marine would like to redefine the term man's best friend to mean his boat. Now, before you get all tweaky, let's talk this through. Although your dog is fun, dependable, and great to take fishing, so is an Alumacraft Navigator 165CS. And while your dog may retrieve ducks with lightning speed, he'd have to be just a tick faster to pull you up for a slalom run like the Stingray 200 Bow Rider. And sure, your furry friend obeys your every command with heartbreaking enthusiasm, but think of the enthusiasm you'll feel watching the receptionist from the gym sunbathe on your Premier Pontoon Escapade 235. And finally, your boat will never drink too much lake water and throw up in your boat. To learn more about the best boats and motors in the Twin Cities, or to complain about the dog thing, visit Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Don't wait. Now's the time to buy. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And that's where you'll find the podcast, 105theticket.com, and all of our other good jazz that we throw on there, our Facebook page as well. Need new tires before going on your next road trip? That's right. Here we are, road trip season right in front of us. Fleet Farm carries all the best brands, Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many more. And I'm sitting in a different spot this time, so I'm thinking we have Steve Kearney, our first guest, on. Talk a little bit about Mille Lacs.
We're going to find out.
Oh, and Boomer, you guys were out.
How's it going, gentlemen?
There you go.
Oh,
Steve.
There he is. Steve, welcome to Take It Outdoors, man.
I'm here.
Where is here? Where are you at?
In the garage? Tonight. Where the hell are you?
Yeah, in the can.
I'm at home getting my boat prepped and getting ready to leave again.
So you're in Ham Very Lake, cool. right? Is that Ham Lake?
No, I live out in the west over by Medina.
Okay.
Not
okay.
Medina, Medina.
Steve, I'm sure you've had enough of Boomer.
You know where that is?
Yeah, I do.
I heard about that. They have an entertainment center out
country,
there, I understand.
So, Boomer and I have a little bit of a walleye hangover from the weekend, but we're ready to go at it again.
Yeah, we're going to hit them again on Saturday, aren't we, buddy?
Yes, we are. It's just going to get better. You know how that is. It starts out usually fairly slow, but when it starts out like it did over the weekend, it's just going to skyrocket. So I'm having trouble sleeping. I don't know about you.
You know what, Steve? First, I want to again thank you for everything that you've done for me and helped me with fishing and all this cool media stuff over the last 3-4 years. But, Steve, you know, we talk a lot about the fishing openers that happen this time of year and the spring bite, and we've had some pretty long winters in Minnesota. Old man winter's been long in the tooth, and this year it's a little different story for the anglers out in this great state. It's gotten warmer. The ice has been out. Steve, what do you think that's going to mean for folks that are chasing crappies right now or going to walleyes on the border water?
It's absolutely fabulous, Boomer. I'll tell you, this is really an epic spring so far. And, you know, I normally don't do the border opener on that South Dakota-Minnesota border usually because, you know, you got 2, 3, 4 days of open water, and it's usually very cold. But this year I saw it coming. I mean, I saw early ice out April 1, and, you know, those areas need about 2 weeks, and they got there 2 weeks. And by the time we got out there, the water temperature's in the high 50s. And
wow.
Fishing was
surprised.
Lights out, and I kind of knew that was coming. That's why I was there. So, you know, and the South Dakota lakes are kind of a harbinger of what's going to happen in Minnesota. So when it's good to the west, it's going to be good to the east, and I predict this will be, without a doubt, one of the best openers we've had in 15 years.
Wow,
and
cool.
I know that in my bones, and I've seen enough of them, and, you know, crappie fishing is escalating right now. I mean, everything is just kicking in, and I'm really impressed.
Well, even if you're stuck fishing with the governor on the opener, would it still be good?
Silence.
I got to tell you, Strew's attitude of killing a turkey instead of chasing a turkey is right on.
There you go.
Well, I tell you what, just to echo Steve's comments, I mean, he gave me a holler last week and said, Boomer, are you going out for the border opener? And I was like, you know, we'll see what's going to happen. I think I am. And he's like, you need to get your butt out to the lake because it's going to be awesome. And so when I drove out there, I swung through Wheaton and said hello to Wheaton Service and picked up some minnows. And Steve was just so passionate and excited about it's so busy right now. So many people are pumped about fishing Traverse and Big Stone right now. And then I swung into Wing and Fin and I got right out on the water. And Steve, boy, they were right. I mean, we got into some walleyes. They are shallow right now. The water surface temp on the south end of Traverse was flirting with about 58 degrees. Steve, I think on the north end near the Mistinka River, wasn't it in the low 60s?
You know, I don't know because I don't want to go up there. That's why I don't go up there. I don't like the crowds. There's a lot of people, especially the locals, that'll hang in that north end, and I prefer solitude. That's why I'm down in the south end with you, just to kind of get away from the crowd. And, you know, a lot of those lakes, you know, you got to be careful where you go. The water is extremely low. There's a lot of rock hazards on those lakes, so you got to really pay attention. And I've found, you know, the southern area is a lot safer than the north, but mainly it's just trying to get away from the crowds. And that's why we needed 2 weeks of open water to get those fish to disperse and come down south. And that's why the opener was so good. And I'm going to be back with a group on Saturday morning, and I think it's going to be even better than we were there. It's just going to get better and better and better.
Hey, Steve, Strewman here. You mentioned that you did not want to go north of wherever Boomer mentioned because you're just tired of all the crowds. I think I read someplace where when you start heading from the west to the east, when the temperatures change, you try to find those little pockets and smaller lakes where fewer people are, and you must have a few favorites, right?
Well, I do. You know, the whole thing is just trying to get kind of a Rolodex of lakes that you know, that you put in your head, you have experience on. And, you know, I typically, you know, drop over the border and hit a lot of those lakes in South Dakota. They're in the glacial area by Sisseton and Watertown.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great small lakes in there you can do almost in the day as you do the border lakes. But the border lakes for me are kind of a four-week stop. And I say that because there's a lot of issues out there with water quality, runoff, algae, and those things tend to kick in as you get into June and the temperature is warm. So this border thing is a temporary thing for me. The next probably 3 weeks will be absolutely epic, and I will be there. But then as that wanes, then we move, you know, to the lakes by Alexandria and,
yeah,
you know, Coronas. I mean, there's so many other lakes to move to. So it's a matter of moving from west to east and patterning lakes according to the calendar, and that's really what it's all about.
You know, one of the things, Steve, that we seem to have luck with, I know we were both kind of doing our own thing, but we seem to be gravitating towards the same areas, is we were looking for those rocky areas where those walleyes were going to be shallow, where we were going to catch those drakes and those males, that they were going to be fairly aggressive. We both thought with the water surface temp in that high 50s, because typically walleye start that spawning around the mid-40s to low-40s on the water surface temp. We thought that, you know, they might be kind of done spawning. But, Steve, we found something different out there, didn't we, buddy?
You know, I am just really shocked. I mean, we caught a bunch of females that were loaded with eggs that have not dropped their eggs yet, and also ran into a lot of males that were still milking. And I don't really understand. You know, they should have been done a long time ago, but, you know, we've had this kind of fickle weather, and walleyes tend to have what's called a false spawn, where they'll go up and they will try to spawn, but the conditions aren't right, so they back off. And they start again, they back off, and so they end up getting very frustrated and not even accomplishing what they're trying to do. So, not unusual, but I was very surprised. But, you know, when we were there, the conditions were, you know, it's all about the conditions. It was dead calm. It was sunny. We had no wind. We had no agitation along the rocks. So that meant those fish are going to be slightly deeper than they normally are. So we made the adjustment right away and found those fish a little bit off the rocks. So, you know, it's all about adjusting. Now, if I get there Saturday morning and the wind's pounding into the rocks, I will be up in that 10 inches or 12 inches of water because the conditions are right. So, you know, it's goofy. I don't know. You know, sometimes these walleyes, they all don't do the same thing at the same time. So it's still, you know, a mystery. We just don't know why.
You know, Steve, one of the things that we both have had some luck on that lake, especially this time of year, is using a smaller jig profile with a longer shank. We found that that was helping a little bit with that clearer water on Traverse when, or Big Stone, why the, you know, it wasn't very active, the waves, and it seemed like that was picking up a little more of the bite. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do. You know, one of the big secrets in fishing is a small jig head, and a lot of anglers, you know, tend to get very frustrated because they don't feel the bottom, but I'm using a 1/16th and maybe a 1/8th from time to time, very, very small jig. And what you have to do out in those areas is you have to keep that jig well away from the boat. The water is super clear, and what I do is try to fan cast away from the boat with those tiny little jigs. And what those little jigs will do, they'll go into the rocks, but they'll pop out of the rocks, and they're kind of neutrally buoyant. if you put a heavier jig on, you're going to be in the rocks and it's going to be gone. So it's a matter of a light jig with light monofilament, 6-pound test maximum, in keeping that jig well away from the boat. And if you keep it active and moving, you will stay above the rocks, and the walleyes will be very apt to pick up a tiny jig versus a bigger jig.
So, hey, Steve, something you mentioned got me thinking, because you've been doing this for a long, long time, and I would think that you have seen every type of situation there is in the outdoors and fishing. And all of a sudden, you came across something this spring that seemed really unusual to you with the all the eggs in the females, and you thought they'd be done a long, long time. And everything has to change. It must be kind of like CSI for you, that you have to change things and look for different ways to succeed. It appears that you enjoy the challenge as much as catching the fish.
That's very true. You know, every situation is different, and that... You know, fishing is kind of like hunting. You still have to hunt these fish and use the strategies and use your instincts.
Or you can chase them. You can chase them as well, you know.
But, no, chasing. There's no chasing here.
There's only hook sets. And, you know, Steve, you had a really nice point there. And, Stu, you might have alluded to this about the challenge. But we talk about not fishing memories. And, Steve, we've got some sweet spots on lakes that we both fish. And we hit them right away when the weather seems that it's going to present fish in that spot because of the water surface temp or the structure or the time of the year or the way the wind is blowing. But that wasn't the case that we found. And one of the things I'd share with our listeners, Steve, and I'd like you to chime in, is I like to look at the shoreline, too. So not only am I using my Navionics on the graph or GPS to see what kind of structure is on the bottom, looking for inside curves or some rock piles, but if I'm not finding them there, Steve, I like to look at the shoreline. And if I'm starting to see some structure from the shoreline, like some rolling hills and it's coming down to a valley, or I'm looking for some rocks, those are going to be some new areas that I'm going to try first.
Yeah, you try, you know, Boomer, you try to go for the most obvious spot first, and that is up in the rocks when they're active. But they're not always up in the rocks and active, and I knew that right away. After 30 minutes, it wasn't happening, and that's why I backed off into the deeper water. So you try to go for the most active, shallow fish first, and if they're not there, you have to change. You know, so many anglers get up there and they beat the shallows for 5 hours. Once you put a half hour, 45 minutes, and it's not happening, you have to change. And that's the hardest thing in fishing, is to change what you're doing. And I think that kind of saved us. It was like not happening, so we moved. And that kind of is what it's all about.
Well, Steve, we've got 1 minute. We're going to keep you on after this till we get to break. But for our listeners, we're going to give them a little teaser, Steve, because we did have to change it up from throwing into the rocks, and we went to more of a drift pattern. But stay tuned to listen to Steve Carney on the Minnesota-South Dakota border opener on 105 The Ticket.
Passionate sports talk.
Teddy Bridgewater.
He throws it pretty deep.
No one's ever throwing an accurate football than Teddy Bridgewater.
No one
more accurate.
Ooh, that's a bold
Aaron Rodgers? I love that kid throwing a deep football.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
At most boat stores, what you see is what you get, which might sound good, but what you see may not be what you want. See, many big box boat stores get their boats pre-rigged with equipment you may not want and places you may not want it. You wouldn't let someone pick out your wife or your kids, and they're almost as important as your boat. So come to Dan's Southside Marine, and we'll customize your boat to you. Say you're a lefty. You might want your depth finder here instead of there. Or if you're freakishly tall, you might want things at a special angle. Maybe you're a Virgo and you want everything in alphabetical order. We let you choose, even if we think it's weird. Because no matter where you choose to put things, at Dan's you're choosing the best. Motors by Suzuki, Yamaha, and Honda. Brands
well,
like Alumacraft
really
Boats and
time,
Premier Pontoons.
You?
If you want what you see, you know where to get it. But if you want what you want, come to Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft Boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Get your vehicle ready for spring travel.
between April 13th and May 10th. Get a $70 MasterCard reward card after submission when you buy any set of four new Michelin passenger or light truck tires, including the premier all-season tire. Your local Mills Fleet Park can help you take changing weather in stride and save. See redemption form for complete offer details. Offer expires by 10:50.
I'm a big fan of the reward
card issued by U.S. Bank pursuant to license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
Steve Straczynski here of Coldwell Banker Burnett. It's time, my friend. If you're a Ticket Outdoors fan, then you're also a fan of hunting and fishing. I've got 29 years in real estate licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, and I'll consider it a privilege to help you find that perfect lake home
with
a 40-acre piece of heaven that's hiding a Boone and Crockett right now. Hey, check me out on Facebook or email STRU@STRU.com.
Wow,
it's your money.
Amazing.
Thanks. And thanks for having fun with us on the Ticket Outdoors.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Well, Zepp is off to the Wild game. It's producer Mark, Strew, myself, Boomer. We got Steve Carney on the line. And just a quick shout-out to our listeners at Pass the 1,000-like milestone on Facebook.com/TheTicketOutdoors. And pretty cool, Strew. You know, the show continues to grow. We're getting more listeners is what the big execs are telling us. Yeah. So thank you to our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you and our sponsors.
I think we've got something pretty special. We have a lot of fun. We learn a lot. We laugh a lot. And we have a lot of guests like Steve Carney that are important to us. We talked about Jerry Yellen, a different kind of a guest, but yep. We've had Jason Mitchell, all the big shots as well. But we're like one of the guys we're having on later on, his name is George Novak, and George Novak is a hunting, fishing person for many, many years. He's got a Boone and Crockett on his wall, but he's building a bar in Lionel Lakes right now called Elwoods, and it's going to be a hunting and fishing bar. And it'll be open like the end of May, so we're going to talk to him about that. So we have a lot of unique guests as well, but right now we're talking with your buddy, Steve Carney.
Yeah, Steve Carney from Outdoor News, and also has Steve Carney Outdoors, and he was out there guiding when we were fishing on the border opener of Traverse and Big Stone, visiting our friends at Wing and Fin, and Mark and I are going to go back there this weekend and maybe chase some turkeys, catch some walleyes. But Steve, let's get back to that subject about we were pitching the shallows because that's typically where those walleyes are going to be during this spawning time of year in Minnesota. But we found something else. You know, we backed off. We started to do some slow drift. Steve, explain to our listeners the strategy that we took to catch those walleyes a little deeper.
Well, you know, it was a matter of, you know, it wasn't happening the first time. So that's why, you know, I just instinctively thought, hey, it's the conditions aren't right. They're not shallow. So we moved off into that 9 to 11, which I normally don't fish very often, to be very honest with you. But the conditions were, you know, dead calm and sunny. And next thing you know, we're popping them at 9 to 11. And once again, using very, very small jigs and keeping them well away from the boat really worked well. And we also, you know, after we caught six or seven fish, we thought, let's experiment, try some crankbaits, which normally work very well on those lakes. And we started, you know, north a little bit from where we were, and we never caught a fish in an hour and probably an hour and a half. So we reverted back, you know, to the southern areas and went back to the jigs and started catching them again. So that seemed to work that day. I don't know what's going to work come Saturday, but again, the conditions kind of dictated to go a little deeper. And, you know, that lake's only about 11 or 12 feet. Big Stone's about 18, 17, 18. So, you know, you want to keep in mind that if they're not shallow, they're going to be somewhere deeper. And being that these lakes are somewhat shallow, you have a pretty good chance of running into them.
Well, especially with lakes, Steve, that, you know, are more clear and you're going to have really good visibility. And not only it's the conditions, but it's the time of the day that we were in. And we were kind of in that late afternoon. Some people think it can be a funk getting into mid-evening. And so as that late afternoon, we got a little deeper. We were finding them in 9 and 11 feet of water. Also, Steve, I noticed that when we stayed away from other boats, it seemed to be a little more successful.
Yeah, you know, the boat traffic really wasn't that bad, and normally out on the western part of Minnesota, it really never is that bad. So it's, you know, it's not like it is in central Minnesota. But the key thing, Boomer, is I said it was really important that you stay on that spot. and somehow you decided to leave, and I think you're a little premature on that one.
Oh, yeah. You know me, Steve. I get antsy, and my ADD or ADHD kicks in, and I'm all over the place. But, you know, I talk to listeners.
You got to have this guy smoke a joint when he fishes with you, Steve. You got to mellow this guy out.
Hey, the ADD thing does not work. We all have that, so don't act like you're the only one.
Oh, man. But, you know, Steve, one of the things was, you know, we were out there exploring. I did get into some of them with a crankbait. I was using a blue and silver Salmo Hornet, and I did get into a couple. But one of the things, Steve, is I talk to our listeners about, you know, don't give up. If it's from deer hunting, turkey hunting, or fishing, you know, last it out. And I made one of the biggest mistakes, guys. So we were out there Saturday, and I knew I was going to pound the lake early Sunday morning. Saturday evening, we went back into the shallows because typically those walleyes are going to move a little bit shallower as you get towards dusk or dawn. And it started to rain, and I had caught a couple jigs against the rocks, and I had hit a cold spell, and I started getting frustrated. And you know what? The rain was happening. I didn't want to tie on another lure, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get back. I'm going to get the boat settled, all prepped for Sunday. And Steve's like, you know what, man? I'm going to hang out here for 10 minutes. I went back in, parked the old Alumacraft T-Pro that ran like a champ. Thank you to the folks at Dan Southside Marine. And what happened, Steve?
I can tell you.
I don't want to break your heart anymore.
So Steve comes in with a
big grin right back into the resort at Wing and Fin, and I'm like, how'd you do? And he's like, we crushed him literally 30 seconds after you left.
Steve,
well,
this is Mark and I hopping your boat.
Fishing, Boomer, and it just kind of happened. But, you know, we had that overcast kind of moving in, and I could just see it happening. I felt it in my bones, and it happened. So, yeah, we got lucky, and it worked out. It was cool.
Hey, Steve, Boomer knows you for many, many years, and we know of you for the most part. We've never had an opportunity to do much talking. I met you at the game fair last year. Boomer and I, Mark and I took a walk up there and talked to you for a few minutes.
Sure.
Those of us who don't know much about you, what's your background? How did you start this game?
I don't know. I just ended up in the right place at the right time about 35 years ago.
That's a long time, yeah. So you're one of the originals for the most part, right?
I guess at my age I would be called that. I mean, I kind of got in, you know, when the walleye boom was taking off in the early 80s and kind of got into the writing and the guiding at the right time. And, you know, I just filled a slot and it kind of worked out, and it's still working to this day. So,
by the way, I read you every week in Outdoor News, and you write very, very well. So if you guys haven't had a chance to do that, check Steve Carney's articles out and stories out in Outdoor News. Good stuff.
Or go to stevecarneyoutdoors.com. Steve, we've only got probably, I'm looking at the clock here, about 6-7 minutes left, and we want to touch briefly on a couple subjects. One, let's talk about Mille Lacs, okay? The new regs came out a week and a half or a couple weeks ago, and the walleye, well, slot is now 19 to 20 inches. You can keep one walleye. You can keep 10 northern, one over 30 inches. But if you keep one over 30 inches, you got to keep two under 30. I believe it's six-ish bass, one over 18 inches, small or largemouth. What do you think about the new regs on Mille Lacs?
Not happy about it. I mean, I think we're over-regulated, you know, in this state, and Mille Lacs is a mess. There's no other, you know, way to look at it. You have to kind of look at it another way. Mille Lacs is an absolute incredible smallmouth fishery, and that's what it's turned into. It's probably the best smallmouth fishing in the upper Midwest, if not the country, and that's what it has evolved into, whether we like it or not. As a walleye destination, not so much anymore. My heart bleeds for the people up there, the businesses. They're all taking hits up there. They're hanging on by their fingernails. I feel really bad for them, and I hope that some solution will come along here. It's a combination of everything, Boomer. It's the Indian netting. It's over-harvest by sportsmen. It's hook mortality. It's all kinds of things. So you can't really say it's one thing, and I just hope the powers to be get together, work this thing out. Everybody sits down at a table and get this thing done. Because it's a mess. It's simply a mess.
Hey, Steve, we've had Don Pereira on a couple of times on the air over the last year and a half or so, and I have a lot of respect for him. I think he carries himself well, and I think he's ready. He accepts criticism well, and he's not afraid to get into the fight and tell people what it's all about. One thing I find interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, They're going to let people night fish on May 9th and May 10th, and then they're outlawing night fishing from May 11th through the end of the year for the most part. Why let people night fish for 2 days, for two nights, really?
You know, I think they're just kind of catering to the opening weekend.
I agree.
People.
Yeah.
But, you know, the launches up there, their business is at night in the summer. And so now you're cutting the throats of the people up there trying to make a living. So, you know, I'll tell you, a buddy of mine, Ron Scherer, and I the other day were talking about this, and we both came to the conclusion the DNR is not totally to blame here, okay? They have a part in this whole thing. But we put our heads together and thought, why are there not any heads rolling because of the outcome? I mean, if this was private enterprise and you ended up with a solution like this, people would be fired and people would be replaced.
Yeah.
Why are the same people in charge of this situation continually with lousy results?
Yeah, you're right.
And you know, people need to be accountable for this because it's not happening.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the fence, it still is an unbelievable fishery up there. I mean, walleyes per whatever water acreage you want to look at, there's still a lot of great fish if you want to go up to Mille Lacs and get them. Steve, let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about what's going on in politics with the Minnesota lakes right now, or waterways. The waterway buffer system. I know Governor Dayton introduced this, I think it was back in January, and the whole goal of this is to add some vegetation, you know, 50 feet either way of some of the streams to make sure that we're doing a positive influence when it comes to pheasants, ducks, and other type of Minnesota game.
What's
going on with that, Steve?
You know, that's a tough one, Boomer. It's kind of too little, too late. I mean, with the influx of the corn and soybean situation out west, everything's corn and soybeans, and you know, when you're heading down Highway 28 and you're heading toward the border lakes, it's black dirt, corn, and soybeans. And this buffer thing supposedly is going to add cover along waterways to prevent erosion and help wildlife. But, you know, look on the flip side, the farmers are going to look at this and say, why should I plant grass, something that I cannot harvest any crops in and lose money on, when I can put soybeans and corn? I mean, this is the fight that's going on right now. There's lobbyists on both sides fighting for both sides. You know, why should I plant grass where I can't get any revenue?
It's never going to happen.
I mean,
it'll never happen.
It's too little, too late. And between you and me, the damage is done. The land in western Minnesota, southwestern Minnesota, has been torn apart. It has been tiled. Everything has been trashed. And it's corn and soybeans. There's no area for the deer and the pheasants to raise their young. There's no cover. Just take a little drive west and southwest and you will see it has totally changed. It's a whole new ball game. It's Mars. That's what it is.
All right, let's switch gears now again, because we've got Steve Carney, Outdoor News, stevecarneyoutdoors.com, Outdoor Guru of 35 years. Steve, while we have you on the line, let's talk about Minnesota Fishing Opener. It's coming up on May 9th. A lot of folks are jacked in Minnesota. We're tired of cabin fever. We've been flirting in the 70s last week. We got a little cold front right now. Give our listeners some basic tips for walleye opener coming up.
Boomer, it's going to be fantastic. And I am not exactly the world's greatest optimist, and you know that. But I'm telling you, the stars are aligned. This will be a fabulous opener. When you look at the water temperatures where we've been the last week out in western Minnesota, 58, 59, it's going to be low 60s by the time the opener hits. I don't care if you're on a deep, clear lake or you're on a farm pond in western Minnesota, it's going to be lights out. And I anticipate opening day on May 9th is going to be like Memorial Weekend. And you know how good Memorial Weekend normally is, and I think we're going to have Memorial Weekend conditions on opener. It's going to be fabulous. I don't care where you go. And you're probably never going to hear me say that ever again.
He's excited. That man's excited.
He's jacked. I tell you what, for our listeners, you just heard it from Steve Carney from Outdoor News and Steve Carney Outdoor.com. It's going to be an epic opener. Stay tuned, our listeners, because we're going to have fishing reports all throughout the fishing season. Steve, thanks for joining us. Up next on The Ticket Outdoors, we're going to have George Novak, Drew's Random Guest of the Week on 105 The Ticket.
On Deck Radio with Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman.
Dan, glad.
What do you see that Molly's trying to do to implement his way of doing things?
Well, I think the first thing that jumps out is, you know, Molly's kind of the quiet messenger, whereas Guardy, I think, wore his emotions more on his sleeve. You know, I think Molitor's more the calm guy. I think the guys kind of respond to that a little bit differently.
Tune in On Deck Radio, Saturday mornings at 11. Wall-to-wall baseball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
It's the season for outdoor living. Mills Fleet Farm has a patio set that includes four chairs, table, and an umbrella. On sale, only $99.99. The Dynaglow Bronze Stainless 4-Burner Gas Grill makes cooking easy. Just $238.88. Accent your home with solar path lights. The Crosslight 10-piece light set includes two spotlights. It's $11.99. Need a new mower? There's a wide selection of lawn tractors and walk-behind mowers at Mills Fleet Farm. Now open in Mankato.
Boomer here from the Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
We at Dan Southside Marine would like to redefine the term man's best friend to mean his boat. Now, before you get all tweaky, let's talk this through. Although your dog is fun, dependable, and great to take fishing, so is an Alumacraft Navigator 165CS. And while your dog may retrieve ducks with lightning speed, he'd have to be just a tick faster to pull you up for a slalom run like the Stingray 200 Bow Rider. And sure, your furry friend obeys your every command with heartbreaking enthusiasm, but think of the enthusiasm you'll feel watching the receptionist from the gym sunbathe on your Premier Pontoon Escapade 235. And finally, your boat will never drink too much lake water and throw up in your boat. To learn more about the best boats and motors in the Twin Cities, or to complain about the dog thing, visit Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Don't wait. Now's the time to buy. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Well, at least we're consistent, producer Mark. Just like any of these shows, we go right into break, and we're talking to Sam right now about fishing.
Yeah, exactly. We're never quite ready to get back on the air, are we?
No, we're not quite ready. Strew's on the phone with all of his fans calling, wanting to answer some questions. Next up, we've got Strew's mystery guest, the random guest of the week, Mr. George Novak.
George Novak, welcome to the Ticket Outdoors. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
I tell you what, don't mention anything about the Minnesota Wild. They haven't started yet, right?
Nope, 8:30.
All good, okay, because I'm taping it. When I get home, I'm going to get myself a cold beer and a bucket of popcorn and sit on my butt and watch the Minnesota Wild as well. I know you got to get together yourself. What's up, woman?
Yeah, you know what? Before we jump into this, I just want to give another shout-out to Dave Orrick for that really nice article in the Pioneer Press about us breaking that milestone of 100-plus broadcasts here at Ticket Outdoors, and really thank our fans and thank all our fans that follow us on Facebook.com/TheTicketOutdoors. Nice article, Dave, and TwinCities.com. Thank you for that. George.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about this hunting and fishing bar you got going on, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you a little story. I used to own a bar in St. Paul for about 10 years called Novak's on Randolph. We sold it a while back, and now we're helping a guy build a bar in Lionel Lakes, and it's going to be the Jake and Elwood. It's going to be called Elwood's. We got him hanging from the ceiling. I actually built the bar out of some cedar trees. I got some property up on the Vermilion River and built a nice bar out of cedar trees, and that's what I've been doing since about January in my spare time. It's going to be a hunting and fishing bar.
So how the heck do you get from owning a bar in St. Paul, which I don't know if it's, is it an outdoors bar?
Back then, yeah, I used to do deer contests every year and ice fishing contests, and yeah, I did that all the time. I was a big hunting fisherman my whole life.
So how do you get
on Vermilion River?
So how do you get this fire in your hiney to say, you know what, we're going to build another one up in Lionel Lakes?
Well, my wife owned a liquor store for a while over there.
Well, that's a good woman, boy. You did well.
She wanted to go back to work. I don't know why, but anyway, she worked for a while. We sold it the guy's name is Clayton, and he's got a liquor store in Forest Lake. And I told him about my bar idea, and he thought it would just be a great idea. And next thing you know, I volunteered to build him a bar. So I've been doing that, and we're delivering it on Saturday.
Hey, George, I have not met you. We have spoken a couple of times on the phone. Yes. This is Steve Strusinski. Thanks for being on the Ticket Outdoors 105 and whatever it's going to be. But I tell you what, if someone just tuned into this radio station right now, they would swear to God I was talking to Chumley from the Pawn Stars. You ever see that? You sound just like Chumley from the Pawn Stars.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
it's good. It's really
good.
Can
you do the impression of the old man for us?
No, I can't.
Chumley, shut the hell up.
George has a hell of a, we spoke quite a bit the last couple of days, and George has a hell of a hunting and fishing background. George, tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into hunting and fishing, and then we're going to talk more about the bar you're opening up in Lionel Lakes and what's going to be involved there. But tell us how you started hunting and fishing and where you got to be where you are right now.
Well, I guess we got a cabin on Vermilion River. My dad got some leased land, him and his brother, and been going up there, I think it's 48, 49 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So I've been hunting since I've been about 12 up there.
Now, tell you, you mentioned to me that it was quite a challenge putting a road back there. Tell us about that, how you cut that road back into the cabin.
Well, I actually went with the surveyor, my dad. I just remember I must have been about 8 years old, and I couldn't believe where he thought he was going to put a cabin. It was about 2 miles back on a road. There was no road, and we had to make a road first through the whole summer. It took us a summer to build the road. Then he started hauling in lumber. Next thing you know, we got a nice little deer shack right in the Vermilion River, down from Bike by Chipmunk Falls.
Well, that sounds like a hell of a place. So
it's gorgeous back there. Yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous. A lot of stories.
Is that cabin still there?
It's still there, yep. When it transferred in the kids' name, our name and stuff, they made us move it off the river because it was too close to the river because the canoers went by and they didn't like apparently looking at the cabin or something like that. You know what I mean?
I'm really trying to I'm struggling with this Pawn Stars thing because I'm flashing back to episodes as you talk, George. George, what do you like to do the most, man? Do you like to hunt and fish? And what do you like to hunt and fish? You'd get along with the old man just well.
Training the kids in now hunting with me.
George, I want you to tell us a story. Tell our listeners a story also about your mentor when you were a young guy who gave you your first slingshot and what happened there, how you made a buck or two, and that kind of got you hooked on hunting and fishing, all that in the outdoors.
Oh, yeah. We had a cabin on Little Green Lake. We had a cabin there for a long time.
That's right in Chisago, right?
Right in Chisago. Right. Little Green, Big Green. You know where that's at, off Highway 8.
Yep.
Anyway, we had a little cabin right down there, and my dad got me, I remember, a little yellow slingshot, and I started shooting those pocket gophers, and the farmer gave me like a quarter for each one. So I brought 10 home one day, and I thought I was the king of the woods.
Yeah.
From then on, I enjoyed the sport tremendously.
All right. Let's talk more about the bar. You're going to open the bar call. We're talking with George Novak, and George Novak is opening up a bar here probably by the end of the month in May, we hope, called Elwoods. Tell us where you got the idea and what's going to be inside of that bar that will attract the people who listen to the Ticket Outdoors.
Yeah, I'm actually not going to be the owner of it. I'm just consulting with the guy.
That's all right.
Setting it all up, and then he's taking over. So, well, I've always wanted to build a little bar. Like, you ever been at a sawmill on Highway 53 up in Virginia?
Yes. In fact, it burned down about 15, 20 years.
Well, we used to go up there before that and with the dogs on the roof with all the stuff. And I said, boy, it'd be fun to build a bar like this someday and bring it to the city. So I think it'd be pretty neat. So I got all my mounts and stuff we're going to put in there, and it should be pretty interesting.
What's your favorite mount, George?
It'd have to be the one I got in the Minnesota record book back in 1987.
Ooh.
Scored 152 and two eighths.
Attaboy.
Funny story, my buddy Pistol Pete, we call him. He's always packing a pistol on the side. I think he was shooting a 30-30 Winchester, went out in the stand. This monster buck comes by, pulls the trigger, he doesn't have a bullet in his gun. deer takes off, he shoots him in the butt. About 3-4 hours later, I jumped the thing, he took off, and then I brought him down. But I got to thank Pistol Pete for that trophy on my wall.
Is Pistol Pete still around these days?
Pistol Pete's still around, yep.
All right. Tell us, you told me earlier today, maybe it was yesterday, about some of the experience you had. Give me some unusual experience you've had hunting or fishing.
Well, remember Vince Shute, the wildlife guy up there?
I do, yes. Yes.
Well, me and the wife went there when it wasn't tourism stuff, and he had a little trailer. We went back to my truck, and he invited us inside to his trailer, and we're sitting in a rocking chair, both of us, and there's a rocking chair sitting next to me, and Vince goes, "Don't get nervous now. Blackie's coming in here." And I go, "What?" He goes, "Well, he's coming in pretty soon." And honest to God, this big giant bear comes in, sits in the rocking chair, and he's rocking back and forth with his paws out, groaning. My wife is ready to have a heart attack right there, and I'm like, holy moly, this is pretty close. You know, and he fed him, and away he went. That was pretty hilarious.
I would think.
I don't think most people have seen that.
Oh, George, you got a good bar story for us?
As a bar owner.
Yeah, but I can't tell what's on the air. Let's put the hump.
George, you also, a good friend of ours, Tom Baddock, is up in Canada, Rainy Lake area in Canada, Fort Francis, and he's had some experiences of going through the ice in the winter. You mentioned to me that might have happened to you once or twice as well.
Well, let's see, which one you want first? I fell through a truck, went through a boat, or I fell through muzzle loading on the ice, and once through my rhino. I think four times.
God, you're lucky you're alive, man.
I learned my lesson.
Well, I don't think you...
it was 20 below for 5 days, and I thought I knew how to snowshoe. And we snowshoed in about a mile, and I walked across this creek, and good thing the bridge was right next to me. And I fell through with the snowshoes, and I went up to about my knees. And threw my muzzleloader on top of the bridge and grabbed onto it. Luckily, that was there, and I just scaled my way back. And then by the time I got out of the water, I had Herman Munster boots on that. Then I had to walk back to the trailer. Boy, this is fun, with a backpack on and a gun. And yeah.
So, George, we've got a couple minutes left with you. We got George Nofak, a lifetime outdoorsman from Minnesota. He used to own a bar out in Randolph, and now he's building one for a buddy up in Lino Lakes. It's going to have an outdoors theme, all kind of big deer,
yep,
all kinds of good stuff. George, tell our listeners.
Fishing contest we're going to put on in June.
Yeah, oh, fishing contest.
I want to hear about that, too.
All right, let's hear about your fishing contest and when the bar is going to open before we got to go to break.
Well, we're hoping if the inspectors help us out a little bit, we're hoping by June, and then we want to promote some young kids fishing. Put the video games down. We'll get a can of worms and catch some fish.
There you go.
Come over to Elwood's, and we'll put your name up on the board, and at the end of the year, we're going to give some prizes away for some young fishermen.
Attaboy. All right. Well, George Nofak, thanks for joining us at Ticket Outdoors. Producer Mark Strew, Boomer here. And next up, we're going to have Fishing Hall of Famer Jim Kalkofen, otherwise known as JK, on 105 The Ticket.
Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Any day is a good day to buy a Husqvarna, but during the Husqvarna Day sales event, there's no need to wait. Until April 30th, they're offering rebates on blowers, trimmers, mowers, and more. Engineered and tested in the toughest environments, Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation. So no matter what challenge you're up against, your local Husqvarna dealer can help. Like these fine dealers. Hugo Equipment in Hugo carries everything from riding lawnmowers to handheld power tools. Knowledgeable staff, expert service, and great deals are found off Forest Boulevard North or at HugoEquipment.com. Craig at Southwest Power Equipment carries everything from chainsaws to zero-turn mowers. Get up to 20% off with his fleet program. Visit SWPowerEquipment.com, located off PV Road in Chaska. Jeff at Minneapolis Saw has everything a contractor or homeowner needs, and if it's broke, he can fix it. Get up to 20% off with his fleet program. Check out MinneapolisSaw.com or see him off Highway 65 in Columbia Heights. Your local Husqvarna dealer is where great products and great savings come together.
Stuck in your car and missing the kid you used to be? Remember those days before traffic, deadlines, and all that responsibility?
Well, it's time to get that kid back by opening up a refreshing memory today with Killabrew Root Beer. Minnesota-made Killabrew old-fashioned root beer and cream soda. Grab your own super-cold aluminum bottle available in the cooler section of your favorite Holiday Station store. Killabrew. It's how memories are made and legends are created.
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
The day I knew I was a real biker was when I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Because real bikers, well, they know where the savings are. And you know what else makes you a real biker? A sweet tattoo. Check mine out. Just got it yesterday. It says Heal on Wheels. Wait, Heal on Wheels? Oh, man. Well, at least I got the saving money with Geico part, right?
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Well, the stories never stop. We're still talking some hunting and fishing here on Ticket Outdoors. And next up, we're going to have Fishing Hall of Famer Jim Kalkofen, otherwise known as JK. We're going to talk some Minnesota fishing. We're going to talk about the big Minnesota Teen Challenge fishing tournament that's going to happen up on Gull Lake. But first, let's thank our sponsors, Alumacraft and Southside Marine, Lakes Trading Company, Custom Trucks, and Strew. What do you got?
Nothing. No, I tell you, I wanted to thank George Novak for being on. George, he's a character. I tell you what, it'd be fun to be hunting and fishing with that guy. But he wants us to do a show up at Elwood sometime, right in Lionel Lakes, and that'd be a lot of fun to do that for the Ticket Outdoors. So we will promote those guys, push them hard. Thanks, George Novak, for being on. Hey, before we get to our next guest, I want to talk about Mills Fleet Farm, one of our great sponsors. If you need new tires before going on your next road trip, Fleet Farm carries all the best brands, Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many more. Patronize Mills Fleet Farm.
Man, you are smooth, brother.
I went to college,
you
man.
You are smooth, but not as smooth as our next guest. JK, welcome to the Ticket Outdoors, man.
Hey, good to be with you today. What a great night here at the springtime of Minnesota.
Oh, man. JK, where are you calling in from tonight?
We're up in the Brainerd Lakes area, and that encompasses a lot of lakes.
a lot of lakes. Spoken like a true Hall of Famer. So for our guest, JK is a Hall of Fame fisherman from Minnesota, executive director in Fish, has ran all kinds of tourneys, the catalyst for the PWT. He led that for many years and then does a lot of counseling within the industry. And just if you recognize his voice, you've probably heard him on TV just a few times. JK, talk to us a little bit about what's going on with spring crappies.
Boy, everything, let's start over. When everything gets just right and the fish are where you want them to be and they're biting and you want to go out the next day for another meal of crappie, Mother Nature roars. That's exactly what's happened up here in the Northwoods.
You're saying it's slowed down.
Yeah, it has. Well, you know what? We know that there's going to be some days that aren't going to be as blustery and cold and rainy and snowy as we've had. And basically, I was talking to a friend from over in Devil's Lake the other day, and I said, boy, I said, you North Dakota guys are really in the news over here in Minnesota. And they said, well, why? I said, well, everybody said, God, is it going to blow like North Dakota forever over here?
Don't you call those guys the weather Nazis?
I think so. And with the wind we've had, it just makes it difficult presenting the small, tiny things that we're throwing and what we're doing and presentations. And when the fish were in the shallows, because through Sunday, it was just a great fight on crappies and bluegills up here and in all the area lakes all around here up to, the ice was still on in some of the lakes by Bemidji and Walker, as you guys know, until last week.
Yep.
And but around here, a lot of the mud lakes went out, bigger lakes went out, of course, and any of the bays were just loaded with bluegills. That was amazing. Bluegills were in a foot of water for like 4 days, and then this front came, and since on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
man, 3 days in a row with me not fishing, that's like against the law.
So, JK, you talk about some of that water just coming off in the Walker, Bemidji area and chasing those, hooking those bluegills.
There you go, buddy.
Are you, you know, I've read a lot of books and had a lot of great mentors and learned a lot from folks like Dave Gens, and he always talks about starting on the north end of the lake because that's where it gets warmer first. Did that hold true for you up there?
Oh, by all means. By all means. We're in a little pond that's about 30 acres. Had a nice little bay going off to the south and the east corner of the lake. And so I thought, well, let's just check that out first. Nothing. 1 4-inch bluegill. And a lot of nothings. 2 swans, 2 loons, 3 mallards, 1 goose, an otter, and 2 beaver. That's what was in that bay, you know. So we had a lot of fun observing nature, which you do in the springtime because there's no leaves and see everything. But anyway, we poked along. We were in 8 feet, 12 feet, 6 as we went up the east shore of this little lake. Got to the north end. There's just a little indentation, black bottom, foot of water. And fish without a tiny bobber unless you have a cane pole, and we didn't. So we just used a real small bobber, a weighted bobber, by the way, so that you can flip it out. Put 10 inches to 12 inches of line. And just a little Northland burl bug hanging on the bottom, and we used some burl minnows as well from Northland. Just hang down there, the little wave action would move it up and down. You cast out, bobber go sideways, it'd go down. You don't always catch everything that bites, but man, if you didn't catch a lot of fish, something was wrong. The male bluegills were in, a lot of those 7 to 8.5 inches. No big ones on this particular trip, even though we know they're in the lake. And that's the easiest way to fish. 4-pound test, little bobber, a little ice jig with a little plastic below it. And you can catch northerns, bass, crappies, bluegills, perch, anything that swims in there, you'll catch it.
Well, JK, we're going to sneak into an earlier break here than scheduled because we got to get some of our sponsors out there again. And then we're going to come back with Fishing Hall of Famer JK, talk a little fishing in Minnesota Teen Challenge Fishing Tourney, May 30th on Gull Lake on 105 The Ticket.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's blocking the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
Saturday night at America's premier short track, Richmond International Raceway. The Toyota Owners 400 is live Saturday night at 5.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Get your vehicle ready for spring travel. Between April 13th and May 10th, get a $70 MasterCard reward card after submission when you buy any set of 4 new Michelin passenger or light truck tires, including the premier all-season tire. Your local Mills Fleet Farm can help you take changing weather in stride and save. See redemption form for complete offer details. Offer expires 5/10/15. Void where prohibited. Reward card issued by U.S. Bank pursuant to license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
Smokes! That's the 4th straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep. Traded for it. Make that 5.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family-owned can make for you.
At most boat stores, what you see is what you get, which might sound good, but what you see may not be what you want. See, many big box boat stores get their boats pre-rigged, with equipment you may not want and places you may not want it. You wouldn't let someone pick out your wife or your kids, and they're almost as important as your boat. So come to Dan's Southside Marine, and we'll customize your boat to you. Say you're a lefty. You might want your depth finder here instead of there. Or if you're freakishly tall, you might want things at a special angle. Maybe you're a Virgo and you want everything in alphabetical order. We let you choose, even if we think it's weird. Because no matter where you choose to put things, at Dan's you're choosing the best. Motors by Suzuki, Yamaha, and Honda. Brands like Alumacraft Boats and Premier Pontoons. If you want what you see, you know where to get it. But if you want what you want, come to Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft Boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, boys and girls, welcome back to 105 The Ticket, Ticket Outdoors. Producer Mark Strew, Boomer here. Old man sitting over there. Sam's running the engineer board. Thank you, Sam. Why, Zepp is glass seats enjoying the wild to go kick the butts of the St. Louis Blues. Want to thank our sponsors again. Dan Southside Marine, Alumacraft, Custom Truck and Accessories. If you need to deck out that truck for hunting season, go visit those folks and tell them the Ticket Outdoors sent you. And let's not forget about Lakes Trading Company, a great range to go pattern in that gun and also get a gunsmith.
Sunday.
Right, buddy? You were there, Strew,
huh? Last Sunday. Boy, it's a hell of a place they have up there, and it was jammed. They had like a grand opening at Lakes Trading Company just off of Highway 61, north of Highway 97 in Forest Lake. And they have, I don't know how many shooting lanes they have, but it was jammed. It's one hell of a place up there.
And let's thank Fleet Farm for sponsoring our podcast that will be on here in a couple days. And we're going to replay this sucker on Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. JK, we want to talk a couple things with you, brother. We've got about 20 minutes with you. We want to talk about crappies because with this front, some people think if they ain't shallow, there ain't around. And I know you got some tricks for the trade there. We want to talk about the big Minnesota Teen Challenge tourney that's coming up. I know you got a ton of boats registered to go visit Gull Lake on May 30th and raise some money for some deserving boys and girls. Let's talk some funny stories, JK. You fished with some iconic people in not only Minnesota fishing, but just fishing in the sport in general. Give us some funny stories with you and Al and Ron Linder this time of year.
Yeah, and I don't want any success stories. I want some dirt. Go get them, JK.
Well, I'll start out then with a success story. It's sort of funny. Here, Al and I were filming a spring walleye show up on the Rainy River. And everybody loves the Rainy River. You catch lots of fish, big fish, and sometimes you get so tired of catching walleyes, you go to sturgeon fishing. But but Al and I were fishing, and he said, man, we really need a big fish for a close, because when you do TV, you want to have a big fish, and you show a couple fish, and then it comes to the end, and said, man, this is what we're doing today, and isn't this great? And with what Al has done for 40-plus years, if you don't catch them, you don't do a show, you know, and you got to be catching them. It's not like somebody else can catch them or you have them in the live. Well, don't do that. You catch them. It's live. You can tell by the faces of the people who are doing it. So we're fishing, and we had like an 8-pounder for a close on the tactic we were doing, which is fishing spring plastic. And it was a nice fish. And so we're just sort of drifting down the river, putting things away. And I had some from our neighbors right across here in Brainerd area. The Lindy people had sent me some 3/4-ounce fuzzy grubs. And I figured, well, I'm never going to really use this big a jig. So I just put a little minnow on one, flipped it out, and it's bouncing along. And all of a sudden Al says, watch your rod. He said, I think you got a snag. I think you got a snag, because he always knows everything that's going on. So I lifted it up. Boom. It goes boom. Al looks at that and he says, no snag. And so we fought it. And it's getting dark. Camera's put away. And Al netted it for me. And he says, man, he says, is that ever a big walleye? He says, too bad the camera's not running.
And that was on a fuzzy grub that you said you would never use, right?
Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
And I measured the fish. It was 32 inches.
Wow.
And we got a still picture or two, slipped her back into the river and may still be swimming there. But that was one example. That was with Al. And that's sort of what you expect with Al. But fishing with Ron, we were in the spring. There wasn't a lot of water. It's not like this year, not a lot of water. And we went all the way up to the dam right there in I Falls and tied up, and we're fishing, and there were walleyes and smallmouth and all sorts of critters around were biting. And I had, working with the PWT, Loomis was our rod sponsor at the time, and I happened to have just purchased
a really nice Loomis rod. But I wasn't using it at the time. I had it laying as far away from Ron's Bigfoot as it could be. I mean, and it was on the deck. We were in his bass boat. And I was using another rod, and I just hooked a fish and bent down, grabbed it. And just as I was grabbing it, my little eye sort of looked across there, and I see Ron standing in the vicinity of my prize.
Brand new rod. Yeah.
And I quick got the fish off, and I looked, and there's a size 11 standing right on the tip of it. And I go, Ron, you're standing on my rod. He goes, oh, yeah, and just slides his foot off, and I go, oh, and it didn't break. but those are the types of things that happen. I can tell you, a funny story. And he never thought that the pictures that I took would ever be used anywhere. Everybody knows John Peterson from Northland Tackle, and John was fishing the PWT at Fort Peck in Montana. 112 degrees that day. Oh. And the rule in the tournament was you couldn't leave the boat, period. Except I told the guys in the morning, I said, hey, it's 112. If anybody wants to cool off, feel free to jump in the lake.
There you go.
And came around one of the little islands. And there's John and his partner, bare naked, frolicking around in the water. And I got one really good picture of him.
God, that's funny.
Didn't show up for 25 years.
Oh, that's funny.
You know what's amazing, JK? One of the things that I absolutely love about the outdoors, hunting or fishing, and we're talking fishing right now with JK, Fishing Hall of Famer from Minnesota up in the Brainerd area, is the stories and the experiences. JK, you talk about the weather and how it changes the game and the funny stories with that. Here at the Ticket Outdoors, we've been really blessed to work with some amazing companies and partners. And we've gone on some unbelievable trips. We went up to Devil's Lake this winter, ice fishing. We went to Gogebic up into the UP to visit old John Sibley.
Big John,
And we've been up to Bowstring for walleye opener. I'll be up there for the governor's opener, chasing walleyes on May 9th on Vermilion. And some of the stories, JK, we had are absolutely hilarious. I mean, we talk about fronts. We went out to Devil's Lake, and it was like the windstorm from... like an ocean. I mean, it was just blowing 50 miles an hour. It was amazing. And it made it a little trickier. We did get into some fish because, there are so many up on Devil's Lake. But then we went and visited Gogebic. And just a funny story to that, we decided to visit there when we thought the weather was going to be perfect. Nope. We got hit with another snowstorm. It was a blizzard.
Yeah.
Remember that? And we had to go to the landing. We woke up, JK. First of all, where we were staying up on Gogebic, we were right on the border of where the timeline changed. And so I had set the phone to get us up at like 5 a.m., not knowing that my phone had changed over from the time zone. So we actually got up at 4 a.m. And as these guys know, producer Mark and Stru, I'm an early morning guy. And I was just cranked. I had the Keurig going, had my cup of yuppie coffee. I was all jacked. I had all these guys ready to go. Get your base layers on. Get your ice armor on. Let's go catch some fish. And I'm looking around and I'm like, well, where's Sibley? It's not even light out. It should be starting to get to light. What's going on? And it was 4:30 in the morning. Remember that, Stru?
Yeah. And Jim, that was the only time John Sibley did not go on the ice in like 10 or 15 years that he said, listen, we're not even going out there. It's too dangerous. And it happened to be the time that, 3 weeks prior, we're on Devil's Lake doing the same damn thing. We go to Lake Gogebic, the same thing. Cocktails tasted good that night, and we had a little fun. Hey, I'll tell you what, we're talking to Boomer affectionately calls you JK, and and Jim, I know you're a big shot, but hell, I never even heard you. I don't know who the hell are you? Who the hell is JK? So your name is Jim Kalkofen. That's who we're talking about. Jim Kalkofen is a Fishing Hall of Fame guy. Jim, tell us a little bit about your background, because frankly, I don't know who the hell you are.
Sure. Well,
way to warm them up, Stru.
Well, I'm sorry.
This will be easy. Grew up in northern Wisconsin fishing muskies, northerns, and bass, because that's what my dad fished, and that's what I like to fish. I didn't catch a walleye till I was 16, in open water. Although we caught some through the ice just by accident and ate them, and they were just mighty fine.
You bet.
But college, got to spend 2.5 years over in Vietnam, so that was sort of a treat for a young guy.
I bet.
And came back, got a job in the middle of Wisconsin running a newspaper because I had a journalism degree. And so I'm working this newspaper. It happened to be in the county in Wisconsin where more cold water streams start than any other county in Wisconsin, Washira County, for those who are familiar with it. And trout fishing, it was one of the top 10 in deer harvest counties, a lot of deer hunting, and had pheasants, and it was just grouse. It was just an amazing place. And for a guy making $125 a week, I could survive as long as I had 2.5 deer and probably a couple hundred trout and walleyes to eat.
Yeah, so, isn't it funny how it works? Because you were in the right place at the right time. You can't control that. And as a result of that, that molded your entire adult life.
Oh, and that was great. Going to college in Madison, you know, with ducks and fish and things around, it was just amazing. But then, so anyway, then I, you know, I grew up, was in the same town where Meps is located, and I did a lot of fishing with Meps spinners and wrote about it, had a big outdoor page, you know, sports stuff.
Fun.
All that stuff. And then, so anyway, they said, hey, come on up, we want to chat. So I went up to chat and because I'd done a bunch of things in the journalism and writing and advertising.
Right.
After about a half hour, about 45 minutes, the boss says, well, he said, have you ever run an ad agency? I said, no. He said, well, do you think you could? I said, well, it's in my field. I said, I'm sure I could. He said, okay, you're hired. So I went to work for Maps, handled their advertising, public relations stuff for about 4 years. And then the folks down in Fond du Lac in Wisconsin got a hold of me and said, hey, we've got a PR position here at Mercury and Mariner Outboards, and we want you to run our fishing programs all over the United States. So I was the guy in the background who worked with bass, worked with stripers, worked with crappies, worked with in the Northwest with salmon and trout and steelhead, and worked with in the fishing business, working with guides and resorts and promotional folks and seminar speakers and pro anglers. And that's when in the about 84 I realized that there was more. Well, I was tournament director for the biggest tournament of the walleye tournament of the time. The Mercury National had 300 okay. boats, and I put a plan together and then consulted with my boss. He said okay, and so then I called the folks from Lindy, I called the folks from Berkeley, I called the folks from Lawrence and a couple other companies. We sat down in an office in Fond du Lac, and we formed what was called the Manufacturers Walleye Circuit, which meant that we, as a board, sanctioned and went out and sanctioned the best walleye tournaments around and made them, well, we didn't make them, but we said, here's a set of standards you have to live by. No alcohol in the boats, life jackets when the guys are running. We want everybody to have live wells. We want 2 rods per person, and we went at 80% payout in the team tournaments.
You know, I'll tell you what, Jim, we're going to take a break here soon, but I'll tell you what, you've spent your entire life making people feel good. You just made me feel like I've never accomplished anything in my life. Thanks a lot, my friend. Hey, listen, we're going to come back and talk to him some more, right, Boom?
Yeah, we're going to stick with him for about 5-10 more minutes here. JK, okay. Let's shift and talk a little bit about Minnesota Teen Challenge. This is something that I got to experience a couple years ago. It's something that I always want to be involved with. I wasn't able to make it last year, unfortunately. One of my friends had an unfortunate family member pass away, and I wasn't able to make it. But it's something that I am passionate about, and it's growing. And with all this experience in these walleye tournaments, you used your talent for good. Talk to our listeners about Minnesota Teen Challenge and the Minnesota Teen Challenge tournament that's coming up on May 30th at Gull Lake.
We'll definitely do that. This is a tournament. And when we use the word tournament, you know, after Mercury, after I was there for 10 years, then I went on for 18 years to run the Professional Walleye Trail, which is the In Fisherman Professional Walleye Trail. And that was professional. It was like NASCAR, the NASCAR of fishing. It was like bass, you know, BASS tournaments, except it was in the walleye world. This event that we run on Gull Lake is not like that. This is what we'd call the low-key, good guy, have fun, catch fish so you can brag about it and beat your buddies. But I, when you leave in the morning, for instance, you push off your dock or you launch your boat and you go to your fishing spot, and at 7 o'clock you start fishing. It's as simple as that. And then we all come back into a private dock system, beach system at Craigan's Resort on Gull, down in Steamboat Bay, and we are fish. And everybody has a great time. And the nice thing about it is the people who fish the fishing challenge are able to fish for what they like to fish for. So if you're a walleye guy, you like to fish walleyes, you can go fish walleyes, and then you can catch those fish and weigh them in the walleye division. If you're a bass guy, you go catch bass and bring those in, pike and panfish. So it's a real fun type of tournament, or you can go and try to catch one of each and weigh in the mixed bag. So here's what we have. And, of course, the Minnesota Fishing Challenge is presented by one of your great sponsors, Mills Fleet Farm, located yep. right here in town.
You bet.
Great people. And when I was listening to your ad before, it reminded me, I got to go there and get a set of tires.
There you go.
So just so you know. Steve Benaz was bass fishing in the tournament a couple of years ago. He pitches a pig and jig in a foot of water, plunk, sets the hook. So, wow, this isn't no bass. That's an 8-pound walleye.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, fun.
And the next cast, he said, well, that'll never happen again in 100 years. It didn't happen in the next 100 years. It happened on the next cast. And he caught a 7-pounder, and, of course, he won the walleye division. So you can enter all the divisions. It's just a simple $100 entry fee. Bam, you can enter all the divisions. You can enter one. And we keep the limits super low. So Al Linder's fishing the tournament, but he doesn't always win because it's three walleyes, three bass, one northern, and three panfish. It usually ends up being crappies because there's such big crappies in Gulf. And we do that for a reason, so we can have more people having more fun on the lake, and it's not crowded because the bass guys aren't interfering with the walleye guys, and the walleye guys aren't interfering with the panfish guys, and the pike guys, they're out in who knows where trying to catch the biggest pike, and we just have a ball. I always tell people at this tournament, you're going to probably learn something about fishing, but you're for sure going to meet a new friend. And, boy, that has really held true over the 7 years.
That's what it's all about. Go ahead, Boomer.
Yeah, for our listeners that just tuned in, we've got Fishing Hall of Famer here, Jim Kalkofen, Hall of Fame fisherman from Brainerd, Minnesota. And if you want to learn more about the Minnesota Fishing Teen Challenge, which is what we're talking about right now, which is going to be on Gull Lake on May 30th, go to facebook.com/theticketoutdoors. We shared a link earlier. JK, how many boats do you have registered so far?
Right now, the last team that just came in was this afternoon. I got the entry blank, Chris Carlson. Used to be, he's a really good friend. I knew him when he was in high school, guiding it up on Mille Lacs, and he's got a big company down in Elk River right now, and he's fishing the tournament. And I met two guys from a little company called Filet Master down in down at a Minnesota Fishing Museum banquet the other night, and they're both entered in. Just so we're over 90 boats already, and because of the low impact nature of the tournament, the DNR says we can have more than usual on Gull Lake, and we can have a max of 150. But man, when we're over 90 already, that's about, I would say, we at this time last year we had about 65 boats. So that just goes to show you that you run a good event with Al Linder as host, Steve Benaz as honorary tournament director, and a lot of really good folks who will be fishing this event and sharing what they learn. You know, I see guys marking up maps for other people. You know, Ron Linder's lived on the lake for 40 years. Somebody will say, Ron, where should we fish? And he says, oh, what are you fishing for? Bass. And he marks up, get this, he marks up Al's spots.
That's funny.
Well, I tell you, JK, you mentioned 91 boats. Well, you actually got 92 because you'll have producer Mark and myself out there supporting the cause, fishing in a boat in the old Alumacraft T-Pro Dan Southside Marine. And we'll be probably chasing anything that bites, huh, Mark?
Oh, yeah. I'll just follow you around and do whatever you say, Boomer.
So we're going to have 92 boats out there for the Minnesota Fishing Team Challenge, which is May 30th on Gull Lake. JK, we've only got a couple more minutes. Talk to our listeners about how they can find information about this teen challenge, as well how much it costs to get in.
Okay, Minnesota Team Challenge is mntc.org/fishing challenge, or if you go to mntc.org, scroll down events and you'll see the fishing challenge. Click on there, you'll see a really neat 2.5 minute video with Al Linger talking and a few other people talking about fishing, and you'll find out the details, the rules. The rules are real simple. You catch fish, you bring them in the afternoon and weigh your fish, and we have 10 really good prizes for each of the 5 divisions, plus we have a bunch of draw prizes, including Canadian fishing trips and resort stays, AquaView cameras, and the prizes are, so when you and your producer finish, like, let's say you finish 3rd in the walleye division, well, the way we do it, we've got a prize tent with all of, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt here.
Last tournament I was in, I won a prize for the smallest fish.
You know, there may be a handicap in the boat. I don't know. But here's what it does. We've got the prize tent with 50 prizes laid out, and each prize is a prize for each team member. So it might be like Al Lindner's rod and reel, mm-hmm. and a Lowrance depth finder might be a prize, and that would be a prize. So first place in each of the divisions. So you go walleye, bass, pike, panfish, mixed bag. First, then second, then third. So when it comes up to you guys, you'd say, we want that rod and that depth finder. And that's your prize, and you leave the prize tent, and the next person comes on. But let's say you have 3rd place, but you also catch an 8-pound northern, and you're 9th place in the pike division. Well, what we do then is we just cross your name out of the pike division so somebody else moves up.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
George, we got to take a break here. We're going to get on to the next guest, if we have a guest. But I'll tell you what, we've been talking to Jim Kalkovan. He's been the Fishing Hall of Fame guy, talking about Teen Challenge. I imagine if you just go to Teen Challenge Fishing Tournament, you can find all the information. Thank you very much for being on the Ticket Outdoors, sir. Have a great tournament up there, and thanks for all you do. We'll be right back on the Ticket Outdoors.
Passionate sports talk.
If you don't get injured and nicked up again, like we always seem to do.
Well, look at the Wild. Look at the Timberwolves. Look at the Vikings this last year. We're cursed. Minnesotans and their sports teams, we're cursed.
I agree. We're a bunch of softies.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
It's the season for outdoor living. Mills Fleet Farm has a patio set that includes 4 chairs, table, and an umbrella. On sale, only $99.99. The DynaGlow Bronze Stainless 4-Burner Gas Grill makes cooking easy. Just $238.88. Accent your home with solar path lights. The Crosslight 10-piece light set includes 2 spotlights. It's $11.99. Need a new mower? There's a wide selection of lawn tractors and walk-behind mowers at Mills Fleet Farm. Now open in Mankato. Love it.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back to Ticket Outdoors 105. Thanks for listening to The Ticket Outdoors, where we're having a lot of fun. We're on every Wednesday night from 7 until 9 on 105. And then we're rebroadcast Sunday mornings at 6 o'clock, so get your cute little backsides out of bed. Get a cup of coffee, read the Sunday paper, and read Dave Orrick in the St. Paul Pioneer Press in the Outdoor News. He's a good friend of ours and good big supporter of the show. And 6 to 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, every rebroadcast. Then this thing will be podcast as well. And our buddy Mark Luca here, the producer, promises It'll be on podcast in a couple of days, although this time you slacked off, my friend.
I got ours last week up today. We have a new podcast system that I did not perfect until today. So
I'll say it imperfect.
I'll get better at it. It's easier. Sam can attest. He's probably had to do it. But I'll get better at it, I promise.
I jump on them all the time. Hey, I want to thank our guest for tonight, by the way. Steve Carney was on, great friend of Boomers. He went fishing at Travers and Big Stone, I think it was last week. They're going again this weekend. George Novak, fishing guy, hunting guy. He's helping build a bar called Elwood's in Lionel Lakes. They'll be opening up the end of May. That'll be kind of fun to go out there. Just got off the air with Jim Kelkoffen, and Jim Kelkoffen, he's a big shot boy, fishing Hall of Fame, and he's one of the guys that helps run the Teen Challenge fishing tournament this a couple of weeks or whatever up in Brainerd, and Boomer's very familiar with that. So we've had a lot of great guests. It's a hell of a show. They took it outdoors.
You know what I mean? We got the Wild coming up here in a couple minutes, so I know a lot of folks are going to be tuning into that. But, you know, JK is just a great guy, and this Minnesota Fishing Teen Challenge, it's true, what a great cause. I mean, he talked about 91 or 92 boats with Mark and I being in this thing, and all the money goes to these kids that had tough times. And I think a couple years ago, I mean, they raised some serious hard cash. I mean, it's over $100,000.
All right, for all the people who are listening to this show or podcasting, whatever, who are living under a rock right now, what is Teen Challenge?
Teen Challenge is an organization, I believe it's a nonprofit, that's out there to support boys or girls, men or women that have had some hard times with addictions or other family issues. And what it does is it takes them under the wing, and it uses a path of good, right, to get them into a better spot. It helps them get their life in order, get them back to living in the normal world without some of the challenges that they've had in the past. And this tournament right now is just amazing. It gets a lot of money back to these boys and girls. And Stru, we're just going to have a blast being up there. And it's a great cause, because all the money, I believe, goes back into this organization that helps kids get off the street. And I think they have many different offices throughout the state of Minnesota.
I've never had anyone involved in having to go through a process like this or some kind of an experience like this. But isn't Teen Challenge a misdirection? Isn't this for adults as well? Do you have to be a teenager to benefit from Teen Challenge?
I believe that it does do adults as well, because when this tournament will kick off, it starts on Saturday, May 30th. But the festivities begin on Friday, where they have a nice dinner at the church up there in Brainerd. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. And they have some folks get up there, boys and girls or men and women, tell their story about where they were and where they're at in life now. And it's pretty emotional. They do some singing, and it's just a lot of great fellowship. And it's using fishing as the vehicle or the medium to raise money.
I personally know some people that have been through the Teen Challenge program. And it's just a great program, really helps people, and it's a great thing to be a part of.
You know, Friday, when I did it a couple of years ago, that Friday really got to me when I heard those stories, and they talked about the challenges that they had and had overcome, and how Teen Challenge got them to a better place. But something that really hit home for me was on Saturday when we got done, and we had launched out of the, I believe, near Zorba's on Gull Lake there, and we had a pretty good result. We felt strong about our bag. We targeted largemouth bass, and we did pretty good. I think we finished 10th out of 100 boats, and we were really excited about that, and I was just jacked, and there was some folks coming off the landing. It was two boys, and it was a girl, and I say boys and girls. They were probably in their 20s or 30s, and I went out down to say, hey, you guys need a hand or whatnot, and just general conversation. You guys know me. I'm fairly extroverted. And they said, well, what are you doing here? You guys professional fishermen, obviously, you know, we had all the gear and, you know, the boats
and the that clothing, good
and the clothing, yeah, with, okay, sponsors.
Yep.
And I said, no, we're here to support Minnesota Fishing Teen Challenge. This isn't a pro tournament. And they said, we're a part of that, and thank you. And guys, for one of the first times in my life, I choked up, and I was speechless,
yeah,
because the money we were there to raise incidentally ran into some individuals that had gotten in a better place, and all we had to do was leverage the media vehicles that we have, and we were up there fishing and promoting it. And when you meet those people in hand, it just really touched me. I mean, it's a surreal point in my life that I'll never forget, that Saturday at the landing when they stuck their hand out and said,
thank you. We were part of Minnesota Teen Challenge, and it got us to a better place.
You know, here we go again. Jim Kelkovan, I mentioned, made me feel like I haven't accomplished anything in my life. And now all of a sudden you're making me feel like a hypocrite because we're talking about kids or young adults who are having drug and alcohol problems, and I'm drinking a Signature Bush beer right now. I'm feeling real bad about even being on the air tonight.
So, Stru, what do we got left for the rest of the hour?
I'll tell you what, we've got. I want to talk about casting for cures. Jason Homer.
Yes.
Our buddy Jason's been on a couple of times. Boy, he speaks well. He's a DNR guy. He speaks well, carries himself well. And he talked about casting for cures. I had an opportunity to go to the poorhouse on Friday and watch that benefit and watch Jason work. And Brian Robinson was there. A couple of the Vikings
Minnesota
were there.
Minnesota Viking, right?
Yeah, Brian Robinson. Minnesota Vikings were there. They're not selling autographs, but you could sign out. They would sign something for you, $15, and all the money went to casting for cures. And I wanted to see what this is all about. I'll tell you what. There's so many people in the outdoor industry, not just fishing, but they give back so much. I mean, there's so much happening here, whether it's Casting for Cures or the Teen Challenge Fishing Tournament. Every time you turn around, somebody is having something to give back to somebody less fortunate. This is one hell of an industry. So I had a chance to go to the Poorhouse, nice little pub. The Brat Pack was playing, great music, silent auction. And I bid on a few things. I bid on a kayak for Mark Luke. I bid $300.
Oh.
It went for $350. I bid $300, didn't get it. But I did win something. I shared that with you before. And listen to these people talk. One of the things you're talking about, okay, every 15, 20 minutes, they had somebody who was involved in this some way. And one person that all the money that goes from casting for cures, that's casting F, the number four cures, goes right to people, kids mostly, who are having troubles with cancer. And St. Jude's Hospital down in wherever that is, the old Danny Thomas thing,
yep,
has a lot of people come down there and do their, who need help, and they don't charge them a penny. There was a guy who spoke about his son. He's from Anoka High School. In 2008, his kid is a sophomore football player. He's a stud. He's a starting football player for Anoka, which is a football machine. And I don't know what position he played as a sophomore. And halfway through the season, he feels some numbness in his hand. Tells his mom and dad, it gets worse and worse and worse. After a couple of weeks, they go have it checked out. After all these tests, he's got a brain tumor. This kid's 15 years old.
Oh.
He's got a brain tumor. And they go to the University of Minnesota. University of Minnesota said, this is a real rare type of cancer. We're not exactly sure what we can do. Let's contact St. Jude's down wherever it is, southern United States someplace, and see if they will take you on, because they are in the process right now of experimenting with different drugs to help this rare disease. That family took their son down there. He was down there for about 3 months. They literally drained everything out of the body, put it all back in, and then go through the chemo and all the other things they do, and he was doing fine. He lost 40 pounds in 3 months.
Wow.
Comes back in April or March or whatever. Works his butt off all spring and summer long. He gains the 40 pounds back. He's doing fine. As a junior, he makes the football team again. He's starting again. Halfway through the season, comes back. He dies in 2010.
Oh, no.
Okay? But every penny, and so you listen to these stories you're talking about, and this guy said, what you guys are doing here to us people who were there for casting for cures at the poorhouse, every penny that we donated went to people who need help. And he said St. Jude's never called him, never charged him a penny, never sent them a bill. Everything was not free, I guess, because we all pay for it through donations. And that's what all this donation, all these fundraisers are all about. It was really, really hard to listen to this guy.
I tell you what, I do love that about the hunting and fishing community. It is a small world, as big as it might seem, but there is an event or a charity every time you turn around that is raising money for organizations that are doing good in the world like this. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Stru, we had a guest that really made us all speechless on the show, Jerry Yellen, that you were able to get. Stru, you're amazing at getting some of these guests from American Idol, CJ.
Yeah, CJ.
You know, and now she's out there playing. We've had Benny Spies on from Sportsman's Channel.
Got him
Babe
on, yep.
Winkleman, Aaron Weave from Uncon Angling, Eric Hadia, a bunch of the Alumacraft team. And we've been really blessed to have these all-star guests. And the last couple weeks ago, or a couple weeks ago, we had Jerry Yellen, who was a World War II pilot, which I believe he was the last living pilot to fly over Iwo Jima.
Correct.
Right?
That is correct.
And it was amazing. For our listeners who want to check that out on the podcast, you need to go get it. Plus, you can get information on our Facebook page, facebook.com/theticketoutdoors. Jerry now lives in Iowa. I believe Jerry is north of 90 years old. He speaks so articulate and gave us those details. You actually had a chance to visit him, right, Stu?
I'm pretty blessed. As a matter of fact, it's funny you mentioned all the guests that we've had on, and I'm proud to say that I was responsible for a lot of those. But Jerry Yellen, although this is a hunting and fishing show, I think sometimes you have to share with other people things that are important about life. And World War II is fast fading away. People, young kids, don't have a clue as to what World War II is all about. I was born in 1951, so that was right about the height of the Korean War. But we had an opportunity to meet Jerry Yellen last year in Oshkosh. I bought a book from him, held a conversation for him, and kind of stayed in touch. I asked him a month or so ago, would he want to be on this show? And he's 91 years old. He was a P-51 fighter pilot in World War II. This is it's surreal to be able to sit down and talk to someone who was in World War II. And he held a conversation with me like we're holding a conversation like it's not a big deal. It's like I'm going to work every day. I fly, I shoot at the Japanese, I land, I eat and go to sleep and shoot at the Japanese next. It was not a big deal to these guys. That's what they thought at that time. But obviously now it is. So Diane and I, after we had him on the air, by the way, if you guys want to listen to the interview we had with Jerry Yellen, you have to podcast the April 1st show. Just go to Ticket Outdoors 105 podcast. Click
boom,
on April.
You got it, right?
Click on April 1st. Boom, in the 45-minute interview with
Jerry
Yellen.
So what was
Yellen
it like? What story did he share with you?
Well, a couple of them. I want to tell you a little bit about going down there first. It was a lot of fun. It was with my gorgeous wife, Diana. And she's so much fun. She spent the day with me. Went down there Sunday morning. And we crossed the border. And all of a sudden, we go to the gas station. My wife, Diana, runs out of the gas station. She's swinging a piece of paper, looked like. She looked like Linus from Charlie Brown. All this dust is flying off this piece of paper. She gets in the car. It's a map. How many people buy a paper map? And it's been on the shelf for 15 years, right?
The Straczynskis do, yeah, baby. Yeah, so the Straczynskis.
She loves doing maps. So I get on Siri, and I say, Siri, how many miles is it to Fairfield, Iowa, and she says, ask the Amish person next to you. It was my God. So we had a lot of fun getting down there. We spent lunch with Jerry. It was cool because they were doing a documentary on Jerry Yellen's life at the time I was there. So we got filmed. It was cool deal. But one of the greatest stories that I got from Jerry Yellen at lunch, and he still carries himself well, speaks intelligently, and he's not afraid to say the truth about World War II. The coolest story that I had that I didn't know of is when he was close to getting out of the World War II, his commanding officer said, Yellen, let's go. What's going on? We're going to fly. You hop in that plane, I'll hop in that plane, and you stay right by me. That's all there is. Whatever I do, you do. Whatever I do, you do. So Jerry Yellen doesn't ask why. He said, my job is to fly and die or something like that or whatever, fight and die. He gets in the airplane, P-51 fighter pilot, and you get the P-51s, and they're doing rolls and spins and flips and all kinds of things. And they land after about 15, 20 minutes. And Jerry Yellen says, if you don't mind me asking you, sir, what was it all about? And the commanding officer said, you just put on an air show for the President of the United States of America. The President was there with some other dignitaries from around the world. Wow. And he didn't tell Jerry Yellen all about that. That was cool. That we had an opportunity to not only do the documentary that hopefully will be published sometime. He asked us to come over to his house for dinner that night. And so Diane and I went to have dinner with Jerry Yellen. He's my size, and he weighs 135 pounds. And even at his age, he said he's so proud of himself because in the last 2 years, he's lost 2 inches on his waist. He's 91 years old. Who gives a rat's ass, Jerry? You're not going to get a piece of ass. Come on, man. Who cares? You know what I mean? But he's a great, great. So we had dinner with him, and he showed us a video of an interview that was done about 5 years ago that he had never seen before. I learned a whole lot about Jerry Yellen. Now, we're going to go see him in Oshkosh in July, and hopefully I'll get a chance to fly into P-51. And as a result of my meeting Jerry Yellen, Diane and I are going to Washington, D.C. We had our flights today for August 14th to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II. And Jerry's going to be one of the featured speakers there.
Wow, cool.
So we're going to spend a week in Washington, D.C. Without Jerry Ellen, I never would have done that.
Wow. Well, for our listeners, we've got a couple minutes left of the show. We've got 10 minutes before we wrap this thing up. We know the Wild is on. Come back, and we're going to talk about the experience I had on the Minnesota-South Dakota border water opener back on 105 Sports Radio.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities. On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner of MinnesotaHockeyMag.com and Chad Graff of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
How hard is it to be one of those fringe guys and know, Chad, that this is an all-in situation with this group?
Absolutely. I mean, guys like Matt Cook know that after he's been out for a while. Knows that if his game slips a little bit come playoff time, there are lots of guys that can replace him.
On the Ice, hockey talk every Saturday morning at 9, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
We at Dan's Southside Marine would like to redefine the term man's best friend to mean his boat. Now, before you get all tweaky, let's talk this through. Although your dog is fun, dependable, and great to take fishing, so is an Alumacraft Navigator 165CS. And while your dog may retrieve ducks with lightning speed, he'd have to be just a tick faster to pull you up for a slalom run like the Stingray 200 Bow Rider. And sure, your furry friend obeys your every command with heartbreaking enthusiasm, but think of the enthusiasm you'll feel watching the receptionist from the gym sunbathe on your premier pontoon Escapade 235. And finally, your boat will never drink too much lake water and throw up in your boat. To learn more about the best boats and motors in the Twin Cities, or to complain about the dog thing, visit Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of premier pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Don't wait. Now's the time to buy. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Get your vehicle ready for spring travel. Between April 13th and May 10th, get a $70 MasterCard reward card after submission when you buy any set of four new Michelin passenger or light truck tires, including the premier all-season tire. Your local Mills Fleet Farm can help you take changing weather in stride and save. See redemption form for complete offer details. Offer expires 5/10/15. Void where prohibited. Reward card issued by U.S. Bank pursuant to license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Oh, we're having fun. We're having fun, Boomer.
Oh, we are wrapping it up. And if you need new tires before going on your next road trip, stop on down to Fleet Farm. They carry all the best brands from Michelin, BF, Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many more. And many thanks to our fine sponsors like Dan Southside Marine, Alumacraft, Custom Truck Accessories, and Lakes Trading Company. As you guys know, Saturday morning, I snuck off to go chase the border opener walleyes. Took the old boat from Dan Southside Marine, took that Alumacraft T-Pro, and got out there. We had Steve Carney on earlier talking about chasing those walleyes in the shallows, which typically we're going to do this time of year. Opener for the state is going to be May 9th if you're not fishing border waters. And walleyes typically spawn in that 45-degree temperature range, and that's why you're chasing them in the shallows, because that's where those males are going to be milking those eggs that the females had released. But what we had found is those fish were a little deeper, and we had to get away from chasing memories. Steve talked about we went back in Saturday evening, and we went back in a little shallower, and it started to rain, and I still had to get my stuff undone because I was just kind of worn out getting up at 3 a.m., getting out there, and I left 5 minutes too early. I get back in there.
Story of our lives.
A story of my life. And I'm talking to Todd at Wing and Fin. You know, he's a friend of our show.
Yep,
and
nice
Mark,
man.
Mark and I are going to be back out there at Wing and Fin on Traverse. And Steve comes in with just this big Schmidt grin, right? I mean, grinning ear to ear. And I said, don't tell me. He goes, we crushed him, brother. And, you know, I went to bed that night, and I just had this edge on my shoulder, guys. I mean, I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. Everything that I'd gone against, you know, stick it out, Boomer, stick it out. And I didn't do that. So I was supposed to get on the road early that Sunday morning, and I decided to go back out early that morning. I knew it was going to be windy. The wind was coming 20 miles an hour from the northwest, and it was going to blow into that shoreline on the east side.
And I want to talk to our listeners a little bit about playing the wind. We talked about, you know, the elements, the water clarity, the water surface temp, the structure. But playing the wind is really, really important as well, because it's going to blow that forage base. And where the forage base is, which is what the fish like to eat, is where the fish are typically going to be. So I fired up the old Lumacraft T-Pro from Dan Southside Marine, and I got out there. And, boy, it was windy. I was facing some 2 to 3 foot rollers. And I thought, I need to get on some walleyes. Carney talked earlier this time of year that when he's pitching into the jig into the rocks, he's using a lighter jig, right? A 16th to an 8th ounce, because it's not going to get stuck.
Yeah.
Well, when you're facing 2 to 3 foot rollers, or what we like to call the walleye chop, you see the white on the top of the water because of the swells coming in. An 8th ounce jig or a 16th ounce jig is tough. To feel bottom. You talk about feel bottom when you're walleye fishing. You want to be able to feel some tension on your line from your jig dragging on the bottom. I couldn't long cast it to keep it away from the boat. So the one thing I did is I went into a shoreline that was rocky, and I went to where I felt the wind was blowing the most, and I took that T-Pro around, and I got into about 4 feet of water to 9 feet of water, and I look on the graph GPS, and guys, the walleyes, the hooks is what a lot of anglers like to call it, were just stacked. I started off with that 16th ounce or that 8th ounce jig, but I couldn't feel bottom, and I wasn't getting a hit. So what I did is I brought the boat away from shore, safety first, with that Alumacraft T-Pro. I rigged it back up, and I used a 3/8 ounce jig from Larson's Quality Jigs. He does an awesome paint job there.
Yeah.
And
we've had him on, right?
From Alumacraft.
Yep.
And I went back in there. The reason being is I at least could feel it hit bottom. I knew I'd get stuck in the rocks, but at least I could feel the bite. I missed a couple bites because I was trying to battle the swells, which the T-Pro did like a champ, but I didn't want to put the boat in the rock. So I had one hand on the remote of the trolling motor and then one hand on my rod trying to feel some weight. So I kept trying to use my hand, which is what you typically do, your arm, to keep tension, and I just didn't happen. What helped me was I used the boat to keep tension on the line. So instead of just trying to control the jig with my arm and my hand, I used the remote and kept adjusting speeds on my trolling motor to keep that tension. And I couldn't feel the hit because it was so choppy. So anytime I felt dead weight, hook sets are free, boys. So I just kept whiffing up in the air. Well, what happened was about 2 out of every 10 whiffs, it wasn't a whiff. It was a walleye. So my point to our listeners out there, and to Mark, we might have to do this next weekend out there at Wing and Fin, is if you're in those choppy waters and you're just feeling for that little bump, which is typically what a walleye is going to do, and you can't feel it, if you start to feel tension, it doesn't mean every time you're going to get a walleye.
Yeah.
But what it does mean is that you got a good chance for a hook set if one's on there. And that what was productive for me on Sunday morning. And I was only out there for about an hour and a half, but I caught over a handful of walleyes between 17 and 20 inches, and it really worked. So the moral of the story is, don't give up. Get back out there. If it's a little windy, safety first. I took that T-Pro, and instead of trying to control it with my arm and my hand, I focused on boat control and playing that wind, and I would speed up from 2.5 to 3 to 3.5, back down to 2.5, depending what the waves were doing, to keep tension on that line. And then when I would just go a little faster and feel tension on the line, I would just set the hook, and that was the trick that worked for me up on Traverse.
I can't picture trying to control a boat in that type of weather and also fish the same time and not smash into something. That's really, really a skill you guys have to learn.
Well, and the thing about it too, Stru, is when
folks have the right boat.
Yes, that T-Pro, it's a long enough boat. It was a 195, plus it's a wide boat, and it had a wide gunnel system. That's what I love about the T-Pro is I wasn't rocking too bad with those swells. And the thing I learned as well is if the boat was drifting long ways, it gives that much more wind to hit the boat and drag you that easier. So I kept having to point the bow north into the waves, so that way I had better boat control. And boys, it works. So not only did I have to change my presentation and go to a little heavier jig,
Makes sense, 3/8 ounce jig,
but I had to get away from trying to focus on my arm and hand to keep tension and focus on the trolling motor to keep tension on it.
When the water is so choppy like that, is color important at all?
You know, that's a debate that could go for about 6 hours about the color of your line and the color of your jig.
Yeah.
You know, I was using a blue jig that had multiple colors, chartreuse, yellow, and green, and then it had some tiger stripes on it. But the biggest thing for me at that time was keeping tension on the rod and tension on that line in the water. And anytime I felt just a little more than what I felt just holding it, I set the hook, and God bless it, there was some walleyes.
Good thing Boomer's around. Hey, Boomer, take us home. Well, yeah, this has been fun. We're on the Ticket Outdoors, but finish it up for us.
Yes,
will you, pal?
Thank you to all our listeners. Thanks for the milestone on Facebook. Follow us at facebook.com/theticketoutdoors. Go wild, and we'll see you next week. We play this sucker Sundays from 6 to 8 and catch the podcast, sponsored by Mills Fleet Farm.
Thanks, everybody.
The countdown is on. Fishing season is days away, and Mills Fleet Farm has hook, line, sinker, and more. The Abu Garcia Cardinal S spinning reel is on sale, just $24.99. A two-piece ugly stick light spinning rod is just $14.97. Spiderwire Stealth Braid Line is $4.99 after rebate. Rapala Shad Wrap Lures, including our exclusive colors, $4.99 each. And get your fishing license at Mills Fleet Farm, now open in Mankato. Love it.